640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden's attorney says additional pages with classified markings have been found at the Biden family home in Wilmington, Delaware. CBS's Adriana Diaz.
In September, President Biden was critical of Trump during an interview with 60 Minutes.
How that could possibly happen? How anyone could be that irresponsible? And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods?
The steady pace of new developments has many wondering what's next. Should we expect more documents? The short answer is maybe.
A special counsel has been appointed to investigate. One is already investigating the Trump documents case. Republican Don Bacon tells ABC it's the right thing to do.
They're both wrong. Granted, they're different. What strikes me, though, is having President Biden be highly critical of President Trump, calling it irresponsible. And it just reminds me of that old adage, if you live in a glass house, do not throw stones. And I think the President Biden was caught throwing stones.
The president is paying tribute to the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. today, saying his fight for civil rights remains a constant battle.
The battle for the soul of this nation is perennial. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant struggle between hope and fear, kindness and cruelty, justice and injustice, against those who traffic in racism, extremism, and insurrection.
Mr. Biden spoke this morning at Dr. King's Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he wants to work with President Biden to tackle spending, especially on programs like Social Security.
Let's sit down and change our behavior for the good of America, because what we're going to do is bankrupt this country and bankrupt these entitlements if we don't change our behavior today.
McCarthy on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures. More Republicans want New York Republican Congressman George Santos to resign over lies on his resume and his background. House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer on CNN.
I don't approve of how he made his way to Congress, and I haven't even introduced myself to him because, it's pretty despicable the lies that he told. But at the end of the day, it's not up to me or any other member of Congress to determine whether he could be kicked out for lying. Now, if he broke campaign finance laws, then he will be removed.
Rain-drenched California just can't catch a break.
It does seem to be coming up pretty quick, guys.
Emergency evacuations issued again for parts of Central California as rivers, including the San Lorenzo, keep rising.
You guys are going to flood again. Let's just face reality here.
In Salinas, fears the river there could breach its banks and flood the country's salad bowl, where 70% of lettuce is grown.
That's CBS's Daniel Backus. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, I am going to be playing speeches from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. As we approach the Dr. King holiday, and I just want people to understand what the fight was about, the reason that his life was taken, and the fact that if you listen to what he was talking about in 1967, we aren't so far away from that today. And it is frustrating, more than frustrating, to hear people who don't know about these things, who clearly want to say, you know, that makes people feel bad. You know, injustice ought to make people feel bad, right? And the fact that, you know, these things have occurred, continue to occur in this nation, we've got to face it. So let's go to the phone lines quickly with CJ before we go back to Dr. King's The Other America. CJ, if you will, quickly.
Yeah, thank you, Earl. Dr. King, loved his speeches. I want to go back to the day where we're judged by our content of character and not the color of
skin. Okay, so let me say this to you before you go there. As I said before, Dr. King also, you're going to hear a speech where he's going to say that the dream that I had became a nightmare. When Dr. King said, judge a person by the content of their character and not the color of their skin, he was in his 20s. This is Dr. King at the age of 39. He himself said that at the time that he said we should judge a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, that was a dream. His dream. It didn't happen, and that's why he said his dream became a nightmare. You'll hear it, because we're going to play it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, also, January 2nd, there was an Alabama student, a young black man, that said, I'm leaving college because this is all about indoctrination and not education. So the mere fact that now, and look at Stanford. You just played a speech where he was playing in Stanford. You know you can't say grandfather in Stanford anymore.
Hey, CJ, let me.
Or America.
Hey, CJ.
You can't say
I'm not going to get into foolishness. Foolishness is you saying All right, cut him off, man. And then let's bring Dr. King back up because, you know, here's a prime example of someone who cannot comprehend what this is about. And the fact that he wants to ignore what Dr. King is saying, and he wants to go back, meaning CJ, he wants to go back to when Dr. King said, judge a person by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, and dismisses what this Dr. King, who is a more evolved person, having lived longer, and who realized that the dream that he had was not becoming a reality. Connor, I don't know, are you still looking for it? Okay, because, all right, start it up again.
Continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention. Now let me go on to say that if we are to deal with all of the problems that I've talked about, and if we are to bring America to the point that we have one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, there are certain things that we must do. The job ahead must be massive and positive. We must develop massive action programs all over the United States of America in order to deal with the problems that I have mentioned. Now, in order to develop these massive action programs, we've got to get rid of one or two false notions that continue to exist in our society. One is the notion that only time can solve the problem of racial injustice. I'm sure you've heard this idea. It is the notion almost that there is something in the very flow of time that will miraculously cure all evils. And I've heard this over and over again. There are those, and they're often sincere people, who say to Negroes and their allies in the white community that we should slow up and just be nice and patient and continue to pray, and in 100 or 200 years the problem will work itself out, because only time can solve the problem. Well, I think that is an answer to that myth, and it is that time is neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively. And I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme righteous in our nation, have often used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. And it may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words of the bad people and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, wait on time. Somewhere we must come to see that social progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and the persistent work of dedicated individuals. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. And so we must help time, and we must realize that the time is always right to do right. Now, there's another notion that gets out. It's around everywhere. It's in the South, it's in the North, it's in California, and all over our nation. It's a notion that legislation can't solve the problem, it can't do anything in this area. And those who project this argument contend that you've got to change the heart, and that you can't change the heart through legislation. Now, I would be the first one to say that there is real need for a lot of heart changing in our country. And I believe in changing the heart. I preach about it. I believe in the need for conversion in many instances, and regeneration, to use theological terms. And I would be the first to say that if the race problem in America is to be solved, the white person must treat the Negro right, not merely because the law says it, but because it's natural, because it's right, and because the Negro is his brother. And so I realize that if we are to have a truly integrated society, men and women will have to rise to the majestic heights of being obedient to the unenforceable. But after saying this, let me say another thing which gives the other side, and that is that although it may be true that morality cannot be legislated, behavior can be regulated. Even though it may be true that the law cannot change the heart, it can restrain the heartless. Even though it may be true that the law cannot make a man love me, it can restrain him from lynching me. And I think that's pretty important also. And so while the law may not change the hearts of men, it can and it does change the habits of men. And when you begin to change the habits of men, pretty soon the attitudes will be changed. Pretty soon the hearts will be changed. Now, I'm convinced that we still need strong civil rights legislation. And there's a bill.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Again, you are listening to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King in 1967 at Stanford University, The Other America. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
For the ones she came with, well, y'all came on the boat looking for home, and all you can say is that you're looking for dough. These days ain't no compromise, and your pain ain't mine's half the time. A brand new excuse ain't to me, bitch, I made my moves with shackle feet, Cape Town.
In today's day and age, we practice the self-pity of taking the easy way out. You ain't on them, him, and her, but when a blessing takes too long, that's when you go wrong. You selfish mother.
Why so sad? Walking around with them blue faces. She said I'm down on my luck and it's something I gotta have. Blue faces. I hit the bank, your dad told him color me bad.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire 8-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 33 tonight under overcast skies with a chance for scattered rain showers. South winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 42. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
So, all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm going to just try to get through this. We got a few more minutes of Dr. King's The Other America. So, kind of let's just get right at it.
Bill before Congress right now to have a national, a federal open housing bill, a federal law declaring discrimination in housing unconstitutional, and also a bill to make the administration of justice real all over our country. Now, nobody can doubt the need for this. Nobody can doubt the need if he thinks about the fact that since 1963, some 58 Negroes and white civil rights workers have been brutally murdered in the state of Mississippi alone. Not a single person has been convicted for these dastardly crimes. There have been some indictments, but no one has been convicted. And so there is a need for the whole question of the administration of justice. There is a need for fair housing laws all over our country. And it is tragic indeed that Congress last year allowed this bill to die. And that bill died in Congress a bit of democracy died, a bit of our commitment to justice died. And if it happens again in this session of Congress, a greater degree of our commitment to democratic principles will die. And I can see no more dangerous trend in our country than the constant developing of predominantly Negro central cities ringed by white suburbs. This is only inviting social disaster. And the only way this problem will be solved is by the nation taking a strong stand and by state governments taking a strong stand against housing segregation and against discrimination in all of these areas. Now, there's another thing that I'd like to mention as I talk about the massive action program, and time will not permit me to go into specific programmatic action to any great degree. But it must be realized now that the Negro cannot solve the problem by himself. There again, there are those who always say to Negroes, why don't you do something for yourself? Why don't you lift yourselves by your own bootstraps? And we hear this over and over again. Now, certainly, there are many things that we must do for ourselves and that only we can do for ourselves. Certainly, we must develop within a sense of dignity and self-respect that nobody else can give us, a sense of manhood, a sense of personhood, a sense of not being ashamed of our heritage, not being ashamed of our color. It was wrong and tragic that the Negro ever allowed himself to be ashamed of the fact that he was black, or ashamed of the fact that his home, ancestral home, was Africa. And so there's a great deal that the Negro can do to develop self-respect. There's a great deal that the Negro must do and can do to amass political and economic power within his own community and by using his own resources. And so we must do certain things for ourselves, but this must not negate the fact and cause the nation to overlook the fact that the Negro cannot solve the problem himself. A man was on the plane with me some weeks ago, and he came and talked with me, and he said, the problem, Dr. King, that I see with what you all are doing is that every time I see you and other Negroes, you are protesting, and you aren't doing anything for yourselves. He went on to tell me that he was very poor at one time, and he was able to make it by doing something for himself. Why don't you teach your people, he said, to lift themselves by their own bootstraps? And then he went on to say other groups face disadvantages, the Irish, the Italians, and he went down the line. And I said to him that it does not help the Negro, it only deepens his frustration for unfeeling and sensitive people to say to him that other ethnic groups who migrated or were immigrants to this country just 100 years ago or so have gotten beyond him, and he came here some 344 years ago. And I went on to remind him that the Negro came to this country involuntarily in chains, while others came voluntarily. I went on to remind him that no other racial group has been a slave on American soil. I went on to remind him that the other problem that we have faced over the years is that the society placed a stigma on the color of the Negro, on the color of his skin, because he was black. Doors were closed to him that were not closed to other groups. And I'm to say to people that you ought to lift yourself by your own bootstraps. But it is a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And the fact is that millions of Negroes, as a result of centuries of denial and neglect, have been left bootless. And they find themselves impoverished aliens in this affluent society. And that is a great deal that the society can and must do if the Negro is to gain the economic security that he needs. Now, one of the answers, it seems to me,
we've got to go to a break. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. At 10 minutes left in this spectacular and heart-stopping and mind-altering speech of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, 1967, Stanford University, about a year or so before his assassination. We'll be back.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
AP News, I'm Ben Thomas. Cities across Ukraine have been hit by Russian missile attacks in recent days, knocking out power and water. But the retaken city of Kherson in the south has been taking particularly heavy punishment. Karen Shamas has the story.
The sound of shelling thunders across the Kherson skyline. Ukrainian troops on the front line launch reconnaissance drones to determine the enemy's positions before firing. Kurt, a commander for a military unit, told the AP that Russian soldiers had taken up positions on the left bank of the Dnipro River. While the goal for Ukraine is to push the Russians further back, crossing the Dnipro River has become tricky as both sides have destroyed surrounding bridges. A day earlier, at least five people died in the city from Russian shelling. Nevertheless, the mood in Kherson remains defiant and resolute, as Kherson resident Valentina Pedina tells the AP, Putin wanted to take Kherson. Never. We will die here, but we will not give it to him. I'm Karen Chamas.
Investigators say the gunman who killed six people at a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia Tuesday night bought the gun just hours before opening fire on co-workers. He also left a note listing grievances. Meanwhile, the mass shooting at a popular gay club last weekend has Colorado Springs looking inward.
I think a lot of people, including myself, might have ascribed to the notion that we were going to age out of hate.
State Representative Leslie Harrod is the first openly LGBTQ and black person elected to Colorado's General Assembly.
It's not going to just go away. In fact, it's being bred in our communities, and it's been lifted up. So we have to actively change that.
European Union data shows Twitter took longer to review hateful content and removed less of it in 2022 than last year. Meantime, Elon Musk says Twitter will try to relaunch its premium service next week. The last attempt was flooded with imposter accounts. This is AP News.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Times. It's Friday. That's Fridays with Sandy Williams, sir. I just, you know, you're pretty aggressive and irritated if we're Americans just like you are. But all Americans don't look through the same prism. And there's some of us that are Americans who see the amount of money that we spend on military. We make up 4% of the global population. And yet we far outstripe any other nation, and some, all of them combined, and we continue to spend almost $1 trillion a year, again, making up only 4% of the population. And you say that other nations shouldn't see that as a threat. I don't understand that.
Well, if you could demonstrate to me a pattern, look, I respect all points of view, but at the same time, you have to look at facts, and the facts are China says it is announced, and it's done this for decades, what its objectives are. And when your potential enemy tells you what their objective is, you should believe them. China is on track to have 5 aircraft carriers and 10 ballistic missile submarines.
How many do we have?
In 6 years,
sir,
7 years.
How many do we have?
Not that many.
Five aircraft carriers.
We have less than that.
Have less than 5 aircraft carriers. We have the largest.
We will have, because we are mothballing our aircraft carriers. We have some, they are non-functional.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. We are not preparing for war with China. China is preparing for war with us.
Well, you know.
At the data. Look at the facts. China is on track. Look, you don't build aircraft carriers and ballistic submarines.
Well, I think you build them if someone who has announced that they are your enemy has them. And the United States has.
We've never announced that China's our enemy. Oh, they've announced that we're their enemy.
No. We've declared in many ways. We've declared in many ways, and many politicians have declared that China is the threat to America. And we've talked about it.
China tells us they're a threat. When your enemy tells you that they're going to conquer you, should believe them.
Well, when your enemy, you just stated a conclusion. You see, 20 years ago, and maybe you were of a belief that 20 years ago China was our enemy, but 20 years ago we were not talking like that. We were of a belief that China was an economic ally, essentially, that they were a source of a big potential marketplace for us, and that they were a place that had many workers that could build what we wanted. And so China was viewed quite differently. We have evolved a different view of China over this time period.
Okay, well, hold on here a second. You're right about that. We had very foolish and naive beliefs about China, and part of the reason was because China was paying politicians to believe that, paying them lots of money, millions. But let me explain to you, while we thought that they were our economic partners and our strategic partners and said as much, China was saying, we're going to initiate the war with the West. They were saying, you won't trade L.A. for Taipei when they were talking about invading Taiwan. They said, the U.S. will not trade L.A. for Taipei, meaning if we go into Taipei, if you try to stop us, we will nuke L.A., Los Angeles. Those are belligerent and words and threats, and they've been saying them. While we were trying to be their ally, they were saying quietly and in some cases out loud, we're going to defeat you.
Well, I think that in many respects that had to do with and was a reaction to our policies associated with Taiwan. And Taiwan obviously is very contested. What the policies are towards Taiwan and Taiwan's status in the world and Taiwan's status vis-a-vis China are all very contested issues, so complicated that we have adopted a policy of purposeful ambiguity. We've decided that we can't say with words what our policy is because our policy is basically that we have agreed that
we don't.
Well, I don't know if we do or not, because we have this ambiguous policy, and we haven't had a president who's willing to declare what our policy is, other than the fact that we've said that we're Taiwan to be invaded with force, that we would consider providing support to Taiwan. That support is also always ambiguous, and it's apparently at this point, at least, restricted to armaments. And the status of that government, it remains ambiguous as far as we're concerned. And the status of Taiwan itself has been ambiguous. They believed that they were, when the Kuomintang was in power, I think they believed that they were the government of China and that China was an intact country that was in fact subject to the control of the party in power on Taiwan. And And it wasn't until about 2019 that people on Taiwan began to talk about what they called separatism. Separatisms usually suggest that you're separating from a country that you are currently a part of. So I think the whole situation in Taiwan is very ambiguous, and I think that the American policies toward it could do nothing but fan flames if you were a Chinese government.
Hey, Scott.
So that's the same kind of logic, stream of logic, that would have lost us the Cold War, because many people like you, people who were not you, but like you, who thought like you during the Cold War, believed that we should give the Soviet Union whatever they want because they've got nuclear weapons and they could be dangerous.
No, nothing of what I just said was dependent upon a threat of nuclear warfare with Taiwan. And in fact, I don't think that people felt that way about Russia and the Cold War. I think that, first of all,
well, they did.
The Warsaw Pact.
I can assure you they did. You can go back and read their writing. Again,
I lived through it. I lived through it, Scott, and I was a student
served during it. And I can tell you precisely who our biggest enemy was, mostly Democrats in the United States. They undermined every effort we made to defeat the Soviet Union, most of them. There were, but most Democrats were the ones undermining our efforts to defeat the Soviet Union. And they're the ones who were easily defeated by China, who have now been the mouthpieces for communist
Scott,
China.
Here's what I don't understand. When you talk about defeating the Soviet Union, there were nuclear weapons.
Well, I don't think the Cold War was ever a situation in which the United States was going to defeat the Soviet Union. And in fact, the collapse of the Soviet Union.
We did.
Well, the Soviet Union collapsed, and it collapsed in a vacuum. And I don't think there are many Americans. I mean, some would say that Reagan's parry and thrust with respect to the Star Wars called Russia to spend itself into military oblivion by too much military expenditure.
It was a strategic defense initiative, by the way.
Yeah,
and
Star
yes,
Wars,
that's what
yes.
caused it. Gorbachev, no, it's strategic defense initiative. Star Wars is the name of a movie series. But Gorbachev himself said that was the end result, that they could not spend. Their military was a paper tiger. Our intelligence was wrong about them. They did not have the ability maintain the kind of forces.
Scott, hang on a second. I want to bring a caller in. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. I just have a couple of comments to make about Scott's assertion about China. China makes a lot of statements that they want to be a superpower to rival the United States. And the fact of the matter is they will be one day a superpower. However, it will be a very tenuous superpower. Number one, they have a very closed economy in many ways. Oftentimes, they manipulate their foreign markets. We cannot conduct audits for many of their companies in order to trade on our American exchanges, on the New York Stock Exchange. But one comment that I do want to ask Scott, or one question I do have for him. One of the reasons why China is such a superpower right now is because of the investment of American dollars. And if China goes to war with the United States, they do realize that many of those American companies, that money that has been flowing into China, that money would cease. So they would not have the necessary revenues available to sustain a war. How would China sustain a war with the United States once they get caught off and we are no longer purchasing their products? Because it may be difficult for us to find other products, but of course there will be other countries that will be more than happy to fill that gap. So, Scott, that's my question for you.
It's a great question, Cassandra. Scott, you want to respond?
Spot on. Everything you said is accurate. The one issue I would take with it is, yes, they're dependent on these corporations, but look how they've gotten these corporations. They've actually enticed them into investing in China, and then once they get their plans, this happened repeatedly
so
in
the
1990s. Hold on. Let me address Cassandra's concern, because she asked a legitimate question, and she obviously knows what she's talking about. China was enticing American corporations to come into China, and they would make them file, for example, there was a very big case in 1994 in Plant 85 in Columbus, Ohio. The union wanted to buy Plant 85 from McDonnell Douglas, and McDonnell Douglas would not sell Plant 85, which made MX missiles for the U.S. military, would not sell the factory to the union. Instead, they got the Clinton administration to give them an export control to sell Plant 85 to China for less money than the union was willing to pay for the factory. Then China turned it into a silkworm missile factory. We confirmed that. This happened over and over and over again in the 90s and has been happening ever since, but it really began and got in full force. But to Cassandra's point, we don't have the financial capability to sustain a war with the U.S. They are taking – it's not going to happen tomorrow or next week, but they are – if you look at their global initiatives, the Belt and Road Initiative, they are securing – critical elements to our weapon systems like lithium, lanthanides, and yttrium, dysprosium. They are securing around the world critical elements that we need for our military, and they are going to control the flow of those elements for our weapons.
My issue with what you said is China enticed the business community to come to China. I was working in industry at that time, and when the company that I worked at went overseas, it wasn't because China somehow enticed them. It was because our government passed the laws that made it possible for those companies to go overseas. They couldn't have done any of that without our government agreeing to that. So they didn't entice them to do anything.
Look, I just said that. I pointed this out. They did this. They went to what did McDonnell Douglas do? They went to the Clinton administration, who was getting millions of dollars in illegal campaign donations from communist China, to issue an export license so they could export highly sensitive
My point is, we
U.S.
Didn't have
weapons
to agree.
Technology
we didn't have
to China.
We didn't have to agree with that.
He's talking about a specific plant and a specific, but the World Trade Organization, when
no,
China...
No, we shouldn't
have.
By the way, we didn't. Our military export control regime was raising Cain over this. While it was being approved, they were saying, we cannot let this factory go to China. They will turn it into a silkworm missile factory. It was the politicians, it was Bill Clinton specifically, that signed the export control waiver saying we're going to override our own advice from the military saying don't send it, and we're going to let them buy it. They did that.
Scott,
it was the politicians.
Let me
go to break, Sandy, and then we'll let you respond.
No, I'm not going to respond. I have a question.
Yeah, because we're right at the top of the hour. Can we go on, or we need to take the break?
Yeah, we need to go to break.
All right, we gotta go to break. We'll be right back.
¿Te tiene agobiado tu trabajo? ¿Sueñas con una carrera profesional donde puedas ganar más dinero y te sientas apreciado? Si tu respuesta es afirmativa, entonces Sigma Castings, una división de Sigma Engineered Solutions en Marquesan y Jackson, es tu respuesta. Son más que una empresa, son una familia de expertos dedicados que abarcan continentes. Te harán sentir apreciado de muchas maneras. Por ejemplo, el nivel básico de pago es de $18 por hora, con revisiones periódicas de rendimiento. Después de los primeros 90 días de empleo, tendrás derecho a 80 horas de vacaciones, más 11 feriados pagados. Aún más, ganarías un bono de $2,000 por permanecer en tu puesto. Te ofrecen un paquete de beneficios robusto, con primas bajas y excelente cobertura, y su plan de retiro 401k te va a impresionar. Se está contratando ahora para el primer turno, lunes a viernes, de 5 de la mañana a 2 de la tarde. Empieza tu nueva carrera ya con Sigma Castings en Murchison y Jackson. Encuéntralos en Indeed o llama a 920-260-8560 y levántate en la mañana feliz de ir al trabajo.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies expected tonight with a chance for scattered rain showers. Lows dip down to about 33. Southerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 42. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Scattered rain showers likely. Lows dip down to about 36. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 43 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
One, two, make you wanna.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. Friday's with Sandy Williams. My guest is Scott Wheeler of Epic Times. Sandy,
So, Scott, I understand what you're saying, and that your view is that China is a threat, and it's a threat that is sitting ready to do something to the United States. You talk about the threat of trading L.A. for Taiwan. And you talk about how it is that they're building. I understand that. And you talk about their Belt and Road Initiative as being one that creates, and at least economically, creates threats because it puts them in control of some vital resources. My question is, what is the implication of all this? Because essentially you're describing China as our enemy, and you've indicated that China views us as their enemy. It's hard to tell where that started, right? Who's the one that initiated the you're our enemy kind of a view of things? But once two countries decide that they're enemies of one another, it begins to dictate a bunch of behaviors. It dictates what kind of munitions you build, what kind of infrastructure militarily you build, and how you conduct yourself. And so, you know, there is definitely in world affairs the Newtonian principles of actions and equal and opposite reactions, and we obviously have that in play with China. But all of your talk about China suggests to me that what is the policy you think we ought to be implementing with China? Should we be considering a preemptive war against China to stop them in their belts and suspenders initiative, and to do what?
It's Belt and Road Initiative, but we should take back our industrial base to the United States. Yeah. We all remember the shortage of masks, and China was the only place you could buy them. Why in the world have we allowed this to happen? It's at the political level that all these decisions have been made. We've allowed our own industry to migrate to China.
Well, now, Scott, I was in business for a long career, and I had clients who moved to China. I can guarantee you that the United States government had nothing to do with their decision to move. What China did have to offer people was a very organized approach to building a new factory and finding workers. So if anybody invented a new widget that they wanted to get manufactured quickly, many of them went to China because easier to build the widget. The Apple
that
phone.
That's inconsistent with what I said.
Well,
okay.
Well, yes, you said the government. You said the government fostered it, and I'm saying the government made it possible
to not let our. Look, here's Our government created a very hostile business environment for American companies, and China, you guys were accusing me of misstating something by saying China enticed U.S. businesses. They enticed them by creating an environment of cheap labor and lack of government oversight. Now, a lot of that was a facade, and it did not turn out, as many businesses, many industries discovered once they got there, trying to the agreements that they signed. But that's a different issue. What happened was our own business, look, for example, one huge stupid thing, and I wrote lots of stuff about this and produced an entire documentary on this alone. We had a mine in Southern California, an open mine that was producing what's called lanthanides, rare earths. They are critical for our strategic defense. Now, China was in the 1990s, China was paying certain politicians in the United States and had a very good relationship with spouses of those politicians. And they wanted the Mountain Pass mine shut down because they wanted the Baotou rare. At that time, the Mountain Pass mine in Southern California produced 92% of the world's lanthanides and almost 100% of the United States. They claimed that the Mountain Pass mine was an environmental hazard, shut it down, and then we began importing all of our lanthanides from the Baotou rare earth mine in China. In 2004, Baotou says while we're in the middle of a war, two wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, they say, hey, we're not going to sell you any more lanthanides. Just shut us off. Those were critical elements for our JDAMs and our missile guidance systems, the things that we really relied on. And China said, no, we're not going to sell them to you anymore. The Defense Department suddenly woke up, ignoring my 1998 documentary that said this would happen, completely ignored it, and then suddenly their hair is on fire. We need these elements, rare earth elements, and we can't get them because China says we're not selling them to you. They truncated the market. That was what they did. That's economic warfare, and China was involved in it. And just as you pointed out, at that time, we were calling China our buddies and our friends. We were willing to let them sell us the critical elements that are used in high-tech weapon systems. You see what I mean? I mean, it makes no sense unless you look at it from that understanding, that perspective.
Well, you know, clearly, the opinions that you have rendered, that's what they are. They're not facts. And
they are facts.
No, whether or not.
Everything I said is fact. I didn't make up any of this. It's not my opinion. I recited facts for you.
Well, again.
Things that actually happened.
Well, again, based on the fact that China is now one of our arch enemies, again, somebody that we've been a major trading partner with over the last two decades or three decades. This is not in keeping with the fact that we have become those trading partners, and the fact that others want to somehow ignore that, and now they're the arch enemy number one in this nation. It's hard for a lot of us to swallow when we know that, you know, all of our corporations that were there and waxing rich off employing those people from China, all of a sudden now they're our number one enemies. Look, we got to go. Thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Connor, for a great week. Sandy, as always, thank you. We'll be back on next Monday. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.